بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله تعالى على آلائه، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم رسله وسيد أنبيائه، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأوليائه. اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين، ووفقنا توفيق الصالحين، وانفعنا اللهم بالقرآن والذكر الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كله. لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To start with, I should highlight the fact that I am nothing but a servant of the seekers of knowledge. And if accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a servant of the seekers of knowledge, it would be a great honor for me. I have nothing to offer except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon me. I have nothing to claim save what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides people with through my words. If I may claim to have something, it won't be appropriate to express it to people or to tell it, because no one can prove it. Maybe others can see it, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the hearts of people some signs of it. And this is the love we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the love which I have for him as a prophet, as a messenger of Allah, Nabi and Rasul, as a perfect man, al-insan al-kamil, as a man supported by miracles, mu'ayyad bil-mu'jizat, as a man who was given the best character, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, as a mercy to the worlds, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as a guide, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him, as a teacher, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا, as a commander, in chief of the Muslim Ummah, who led the Muslim community of his time to a victory after another, as a man who set forth for humanity the way to its happiness and its salvation in both worlds and both lives and both abodes, in this life and in the hereafter. And probably amongst not so many people on the face of the earth, I would say that I love him as a grandfather. And I love everyone who loves my grandfather. And I wish I would be able to reward everyone who praises my grandfather. My father, rahimahullah, used to teach me and tell me how obliged we are to reward the singers who praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because if someone casts poetry in praise of your father, If someone travels around the world, writes books, delivers talks, if someone sings in so beautiful tunes and voices, praising you, Father, what would you do to reward him? Everything possible at your hands. And here are people from around the world, singers, poets, writers, highlighting the virtues of my grandfather. My father used to tell me it's our obligation to reward these singers, especially during the month of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when celebrations and conferences about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take place all around the country. So the love we have for him, and I personally have for him probably, is the only thing I can claim, and I hope it is sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope that if I have anything to come up with on the Day of Judgment, I have only two things. And these two things are basic facts which I hope I will survive on the Day of Judgment with. It is my lineage to him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the name I have of him. These two things I cannot deny. And I didn't struggle to get, because the lineage is not something that you can get through some struggle. You can give it to your children if you marry a woman from Ahlul Bayt, so that your children will be of Ahlul Bayt. Or as a woman, you can give it to your children if you marry a man of Ahlul Bayt. That is something you can earn for your children. But you can't earn it for yourself. This is why being part of the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or belonging to Ahlul Bayt, is a virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not something you struggle for, and something you should not hide, something you should not be embarrassed to tell when people ask you of who you are or what you are. But you have to prove it and support it by other means. The top of it and the best of it is taqwa and al-amal al-salih, God-fearing, being righteous, and proving this through practice, through good works. Otherwise, you would be doing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him all the sins of his offspring in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon him when he says, Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar wa yutimma ni'matahu 'alayka wa yahdiyaka siratan mustaqima liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is sinless. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is impeccable, is flawless. In another way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have the ability to commit any sin. It is not within his body and spirit. It is not within his reach or his capacity to think of any disobedience or any sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, we have given you a great opening, conquest, referring to the conquest of Mecca, which was due in few years. This verse and this surah was revealed after the truce of Al-Hudaybiyah, which opened the way to the conquest of Mecca and the spread of Islam in Arabia. And the real conquest was the truce of Al-Hudaybiyah, which was the key to spread Islam in all Arabia. So that Allah forgive you what passed and what will proceed of your sins. What sins? لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. What sins? If there were any sins committed by any of his forefathers, or any sins committed by any of his offspring, they are forgiven. But this forgiveness won't have any impact in this life. That is to say, if any Muslim commits any sin, he has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and penalties and punishments are arranged according to the gravity of the sin. No one is exempt from any punishment. On the Day of Judgment, the grandfather of Ahlul Bayt, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, comes to the rescue of his offspring, and there, as the ulama explained, this purity of Ahlul Bayt would appear. If a person of Ahlul Bayt, one of the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does something wrong in this life, we need to advise them, we need to enjoin good and forbid evil. And if need be, Islamic penalties can be established and have to be established through court procedures. But on the Day of Judgment, the impact of this forgiveness will appear, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allah indeed wants to remove all filth of you, O Ahlul Bayt, family of the house, and purify you in the best way. The second is, my name Muhammad. And this is something also that is not earned by any struggle of me. It is what your parents grant you upon your birth. You can change your name if you don't like it, but names are different and of various types and various meanings. One of the habits of Arabs in North Africa is to add the name Muhammad to every other name. They say Muhammad al-Arabi, Muhammad al-Hassan, Muhammad al-Hashimi, Muhammad al-Makki, Muhammad al-Sharif, and so on. Not giving the name of Muhammad alone, but adding to it another adjective which highlights one of the attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Also, the person would be called probably Sharif or al-Hashimi or al-Makki or so, but added to his name is Muhammad, to get the barakah of the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The habit of the people of Yemen in the past was to name every newborn Muhammad. Then at day 7 of their birth, they would give him another name. Al-Imam al-Busiri says, because his name is Muhammad, فَإِنَّ لِي ذِمَّةً مِنْهُ بِتَسْمِيَتِي مُحَمَّدًا وَهُوَ أَوْفَى الْخَلْقِ بِالذِّمَمِ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي مَعَادِي آخِذًا بِيَدِي فَضْلًا وَإِلَّا فَقُلْ يَا زَلَّةَ الْقَدَمِ. I have a right upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, dhimma. I have a right upon him. It is, I share with him his name. It is that I share with him his name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in every possible way. And we can see in Al-Quran al-Kareem how much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is honored. When Al-Quran al-Kareem speaks clearly about his attributes, and what you can deduce and infer from these verses of the hidden statements and facts about the rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and what he spoke of himself sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what Allah honored him with and granted him of the great qualities and the great ranks. So with all of that, of course, there is some bond, there is some relationship between you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when you share with him this name, Muhammad. The name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a cure from every disease. And prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a relief and a source of remedy for every suffering. People may suggest What about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond imagination. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can fly in the air. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can annihilate to the world. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can have miracles happening at your hands. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can be all made of light. If you have the ability to maintain dhikr of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he recommends in Al-Quran al-Kareem, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, or as he says, قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Call upon Allah, call upon Ar-Rahman, anyone you call upon, all beautiful names belong to him. Definitely, dhikr with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best and are beyond the grasp of any human mind, with their fruits and results and what you can gain in purification and in light and uplifting and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet when we come to a level of suffering, calamities, befalling Muslims, visiting ordinary people, and you need relief, here you find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him mercy to the worlds, he made him a source of relief to humanity when we go through agonies and we experience hardships. One of these beautiful examples in Al-Quran al-Kareem, which I discovered recently upon the passing away of my wife, is the famous verse which speaks about calamities. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. You are all familiar with these verses, right? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will inflict you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with some of fear, hunger, and lack of harvests of fruit, and loss of souls. Yet give the glad tidings to the people of patience, right? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now I want you to give me your attention. We have personal pronouns. When I speak of myself, I say I. When I speak of you, I say you. You went, you read, you studied, you wrote. When I speak of someone absent, I would say he or she. If I want to order you to do something, forgive me for this, I would tell you, do it, O Ahmad, O Muhammad. Do this. Then I'm addressing someone. This is imperative. فِعْلُ الْأَمْرِ. There is مُخَاطَب. There's a person addressed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah changed the style of the sentence. The sentence starts with وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will inflict you. So وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ here, look at our power. Look at the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's speaking with authority, with the absolute power. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. As usually kings, presidents, when issuing any rulings, they would say, we, the president of so and so, we, the king of so and so, decides on so and so. So this comes with we, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Naturally, the sentence should finish, وَلَنُبَشِّرَنَّ الصَّابِرِينَ, and we will give the glad tidings to the people of patience. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَلَنُبَشِّرَنَّ الصَّابِرِينَ, and we will give. We will inflict you with some of, and we will give the glad tidings to the people of patience. That would be the natural. If we human beings wanted to write something, that would be the natural harmony of the sentence.
Now we know Al-Quran al-Kareem, the book of Allah, is matchless. Mu'jiz. I'jaz al-Quran. The matchlessness of Al-Quran al-Kareem is the greatest miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and of this deen. And this means that we can never replace any word by another. We can never change the word order. We can never replace one letter by another, not even a preposition or a particle. Al-Quran al-Kareem came in the best form. Any other suggestion of a word would diminish the level of eloquence of Al-Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the style here. From وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ we will inflict you and we will give the glad tidings to, we will inflict you and give the glad tidings. Who is meant? Who is addressed here? It is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because Al-Quran came to him, was revealed upon him. We will visit you with some of, and oh Muhammad, give the glad tidings to the people of patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to get the good news through this man, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The calamities are coming from Allah, we believe in Allah. So we accept all what has been decreed and predestined from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us His absolute authority in the beginning of this verse to accept anything that comes from Him. Yet as a remedy with which we can cope with the challenges facing us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to receive the glad tidings of patience from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The translation should be, and between brackets, O Muhammad, give the glad tidings, the best news to the people of patience. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the source of relief for this ummah, for everyone. This is why seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one's dream is a source of relief for anyone. The ulama say, such as Shaykh Abdul Ghani al-Nabulusi, in his encyclopedic work on the interpretation of dreams, if someone under debt sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his debt is going to be paid off. If a sinner sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it's a sign of repentance. If a kafir sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it's a sign he's going to become a Muslim. Even in visions and dreams, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a source of relief to this ummah. No wonder the singing of his name, the reiteration and repetition and invocation of his blessed name during the forms of prayers we make upon him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are source of relief to everyone under some calamities. And a way to improve your character. Because many of us struggle to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and embrace his character. You can do it in one of two ways. The first way is struggle, training, attending courses, learning about him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and trying to improve your character. You know he is tolerant. He doesn't get angry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for the sake of Allah. So you try to restrain your anger. You learn that he, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is generous and the most generous human being ever to be. So you learn how to be generous by giving away as much as possible, by training, by means of struggle. But there is another way, which is very good for every one of us because it doesn't cost any money. It doesn't consume any time. It doesn't take any effort. Especially for lazy people, it is the repetition of the prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The more you repeat his name, the more you're going to embrace his character. For example, Al-Allama Shaykh Badruddin Al-Hasani, Al-Muhaddith Al-Akbar of Syria, who died year 1354 of Hijrah, the greatest scholar of Syria in the first half of the 14th century of Hijrah, the Islamic calendar. He lived 88 years Also Hassani, descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was well known as a great man of Allah, as a great scholar of hadith, a great authority. Anyone in Damascus now claiming to have any type of knowledge of Islam, Shaykh Badruddin al-Hassani would be his father or grandfather or great-grandfather in knowledge. Either his direct teacher, we have only very few people remaining of those who studied under him or attended any of his lectures, but would be either his teacher or the teacher of his teacher or the teacher of the teacher of his teacher. These are very few people who aged and had this much control over all the students. No one single student in the city of Damascus and in the country of Syria and in the Middle East could ever claim knowledge without Shaykh Badruddin al-Hassani having a hand over him and the favor done to him. This happened to few scholars across the Islamic world. For example, Al-Hafiz Zakiyuddin Abdul Azim Al-Mundhiri, the author of the famous book At-Targhib wa-At-Tarhib. He aged and lived long in Egypt to the extent they say in his biography that all existent scholars afterwards were either his student or the students of his students or the students of the students of his students. Al-Qadi Shaykh al-Islam Zakariya ibn Muhammad al-Ansari, a great Shafi'ite scholar, a great man of Allah and a great scholar of Al-Quran and Al-Hadith and Al-Fiqh, also lived approximately 100 years. He died year 926 of Al-Hijra. All people before he died were either his students or students of his students or students of the students of his students. That actually was the case of Al-Shaykh Badruddin Al-Hassani rahimahullahu ta'ala. If you looked at him, you would be looking at a man of the Salaf radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. You wouldn't think that this man would have existed in the past 400 years. For a number of years, no one of his caliber appeared in the Middle East. He didn't write many books. His books are insignificant compared to the impact he left on the Islamic movement in Syria. We don't judge people by the number of titles they write, because in this modern time, you can take every lecture of mine and publish it as a book, if you like, and you'll end up probably publishing 5,000 books. You can copy and paste and publish 100 titles in a number of years. Actually, come 100 years later and show me the impact you have left on humanity and on Muslims. Now, after 80 years and more of the passing of Shaykh Badruddin al-Hassani, we are still speaking of his impact on the country, on the Middle East, and people are still writing books about him, about his biography. What was the secret of his success? What was the elixir of this great man which got him to this level of achievement? It was as-salah ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It was as-salah ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As a young man, he started teaching after studying with some scholars. Then he realized that he was missing something. Like other great scholars of the past, Imam al-Ghazali is one of the best scholars who left all the fields of the sacred knowledge, all the jobs he had in the Nizamiyah Institute in Baghdad, left all the fame and all the reputation he had and sought the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Shaykh Badruddin al-Hassani isolated himself and abandoned people and stopped from teaching and went on a retreat for a number of years. Some people suggest that he went for 7 years in retreat. You know what was his wird? He maintained one wird. As-salah ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As-salah ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm presenting living examples. Examples from our time and the time of our teachers to show you how possible this to achieve. When he came out, he outdid every other scholar in knowledge and in ibadah and wara and taqwa. From morning till evening, his words would be calculated.
He spoke only very few words. One of his words was Yaba, Yaba. If someone asked him a question, he would point out some of his students to get a book. Because of the amount of books he read, there is always in his mind some reference in some books. He wouldn't hold the book in his hand. He would tell his student, open the book to page so and so and so. The top of the page, the middle of the page, or the bottom of the page, read. No, next line after a few lines, then he'll show them to. Because of how much he memorized, the purity of his mind. And miracles happened at his hands, countless miracles. People are speaking about until our time. And the secret of that was prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Even when he came out, people would study with him. People would sit in front of him to study. The top ulama, the best ulama of the country, even his peers who were younger than him, even 10 years younger than him, they ended up becoming his students. He outdid all of them. And throughout the day, he would make 30,000, 40,000 prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He would be just doing salawat ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Not to go back far in history, we should speak probably of a living example, Sheikh Ahmad al-Habbal in Damascus, who spread the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the city of Damascus and is above 100 years of age now. He does every day in the morning after Fajr a session for prayers on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Majlis al-Salati ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He was a pioneer in opening these sessions and publicizing them. His teacher was Sheikh Arif Uthman. Sheikh Arif Uthman died over 50 years ago. Out of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his students told me that he had a watch. His watch used to stop. He never took it for repair to a mechanic for repair. He would strike on it and say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. For 50 years of his life, every time his watch stops, he would say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. It works. You may say, is there any precedent in history to this? Yes, indeed there is. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah be pleased with him and with his father. Out of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, every time his leg became numbed, he would make mention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and send him prayers and he would be healed.
Subhanallah.
There are many precedents in the past how people were attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and how much relief they got because of mentioning the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imam al-Busiri put it in one of his lines, had it not been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the sunnahs of this life to be established, dead people would be walking alive if you call upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because Allah honored him. Allah honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah loved him. He's the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put certain laws in this world. They are not natural laws, they are His laws, divine laws. That when a person dies, their lifespan ended. They're not going to be raised up again from their graves. We have the example of Antichrist who would come before the end of time and kills another person and then bring him into life again. He would kill the person, the same person, bring him into a life again, and then he would kill him and won't be able to bring him into life again. In some weak narrations, he's named as Al-Khadir alayhi salam, and the opinion of many scholars of hadith and many other scholars in tasawwuf is that Al-Khadr alayhi salam is alive. We don't have any specific news of his death. The most obvious proof is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us his story and never told us the story of his death or any piece of news of his death, because some people argue about his life. We have clear statements in the Quran al-Kareem, because he's the man Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam met. We have clear statements in the Quran al-Kareem about his life, and we didn't get any piece of news about his death. So we stick with the book of Allah, who tells us about his life and never told us about his demise. So anyway, had it not been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted these divine laws to be established on the face of the earth, if you used the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you would have brought people into life. أَحْيَ اسْمُهُ حِينَ يُدْعَى دَارِ سَرِّمَمِ. This is the meaning of what Imam al-Busiri says. So imagine the attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. People like this Shaykh Arif Uthman and his student Shaykh Ahmed al-Habbal, who is now living in Damascus. They say in the English language, a living legend. That is a living legend. He was a servant of Shaykh Badruddin al-Hasani and a servant of my father's uncle Shaykh Sharif al-Yaqubi. Served him for many years, and out of his love and loyalty to Shaykh Sharif al-Yaqubi and Shaykh Badruddin al-Hasani, look at what he did. Shaykh Badruddin al-Hasani left some of his daughters. He would knock at the door of the house of Shaykh Badruddin al-Hasani and serve the daughters of Shaykh Badruddin. He would knock at the door of Shaykh Sharif al-Yaqubi and serve a cousin of ours. One of the daughters of Shaykh Sharif al-Yaqubi was elderly, living there. If she needed any shopping, if she needed anything, he would do shopping for her. Out of his love for the ulama, out of his love for Ahlul Bayt, out of his loyalty to his shaykhs and his teachers. Shaykh Ahmed al-Habbal living now. He told me many stories about my father's uncle, Shaykh Sharif al-Yaqubi. He told us many stories about Shaykh Badruddin al-Hasani, spreading the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I will tell you, it's really worth taking the trouble, leaving your job, to go to Syria just to meet this man and come back. People take the trouble now to travel from one country to another to meet superstars, to say, I have met this person, I have met this person. These are the real superstars on the face of the earth. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at humanity, those people are mawdi'u nazari Allahi min al-khalq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at these people, these righteous people. They are the connection between the earth and the heaven. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends calamities on the face of the earth, Allah removes calamities because of them. In one hadith that is sound, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, لولا أطفال رضع وشيوخ ركع وبهائم رتع وشباب خشع لصب عليكم البلاء صبا. Had it not been for babies being suckled, for elderly people kneeling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of ruku', for animals seeking grass, and for young people in a state of khushu', Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent the punishment pouring on us like rains. Had it not been for what? For these four categories, including shuyukhun, rukka'. These people are the cause of the removal of the calamities, or the bulk of the calamities of the Muslim Ummah. With all what has been falling on the Muslim Ummah, all is but a drop. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that verse I remembered, I mentioned, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ with some. We will inflict you with some. To tell us that there is always something bigger, and there is something always more dangerous, Allah pushed away. So know the calamities that are befalling, either on you as an individual, or on the community, or on the Muslim Ummah at large, are just some of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in His power. And because of these superstars, these are the shining stars on the face of the earth. If you can't see them, if you can't see the light on their faces, then you're blind, even if you have two eyes. It doesn't help you to put any glasses, because you should see with your inside the light on the face of these people. And believe me, when you looked at these people,
People like my father, people like my grandfather, Sheikh Sharif al-Yaqubi, Sheikh Badruddin al-Hassani, Sheikh Amin Suwaid, Sheikh Ahmed al-Habbal, Sayyid Makki al-Kattani, Sayyid Muhammad ibn Ja'far al-Kattani. Some we met, some we didn't. Our teachers met and described to us, go and see Sheikh Ahmed al-Habbal, he's living now in Damascus. Before you hear the news that there was someone called Sheikh Ahmed al-Habbal, may Allah extend his life, you will see just light. You will see light. All he does now is reciting Al-Qur'an al-Kareem and praying upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Well, I had it not been for deliberation of knowledge that I have to transmit knowledge to people around the world and in Damascus, I have thought several times of seclusion. Because this is my own pleasure. That would be my own pleasure. And I weighed the pros and the cons. Which is better? I said I should sacrifice my own pleasure for the sake of my brothers around the world and in Syria. And the job of transmitting knowledge is higher than the job of sitting somewhere being in pleasure with the invocation of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, any knowledge doesn't come from void. And any impact of this knowledge, transformation of the hearts of people, guidance, if you work in the field of da'wah, if you want to speak to your brother about something, you want to give him nasiha, you want to enjoin good or forbid evil, let alone if you want to speak to a non-Muslim about Islam, the best way, you have knowledge, you know what to say. But people can't listen to you, people don't accept what you say. If you want it to be done in the best way, go the night before, spend the night in ibadah, in dhikr, and then go the following day and speak to your brother, enjoying good and forbid evil and see the different results. If you want to speak to a non-Muslim, go the day before, recite Surah Al-Fatiha 100 times. Recite Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, 1 juz, 2 juz, 5 juz of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. Pray Qiyamul Layl and annihilate yourself, say in your heart with your words, oh Allah, I have nothing to boast of. I have no guidance to offer. Guidance is from you. Make me channel of guidance. I want to speak to this man. I'm concerned about him and his guidance. If you have any guidance for this man, honor me and make me a channel of guidance to this person. Then next day, go and speak to the person and you will see the different results. This is why these great ulama, great figures, when they come out, they don't come from a void, from a vacuum. The relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is very central in our life. And if you don't feel it, then you have lost something that is very important to you in this dunya and more important to you in the akhirah. And I can see in all of you here, on the faces of every one of you, if I look and glare at the face of every one of you, I can see that there is love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Love cannot hide itself. You can see it, right? Don't you see it with young people who get engaged and propose to young girls before marriage is consummated? When they meet each other, they don't want to speak to their parents. They don't want to go on picnics. They don't want to go anywhere. All they want is just to speak to their beloveds. They want to meet their spouses. They just want to get with each other on phone or meet each other. They are in love before getting married. Love cannot hide itself. And when people are in real love, then people get lean. People get lean because you're busy-minded. The preoccupation of the mind takes toll on your body. Al-Ma'mun was very lean. The famous Abbasid Khalifa, son of Harun al-Rashid, was very lean. One of his wives, a slave girl, serving him, inquired, why? He answered, وَقَائِلَةٍ لِمْ عَرَدْكَ الْهُمُومُ وَأَمْرُكَ مُمْتَثَلٌ فِي الْأُمَمُ فَقُلْتُ ذَرِينِي عَلَى حَالَتِي فَإِنَّ الْهُمُومَ بِقَدْرِ الْهِمَمُ. Someone asks me, why do you have so much worries in your mind? His answer was, leave me in my state because worries come in conformity with ambitions. You're worried in as much as you're ambitious. You have no ambitions, you have no worries. Al-Mutanabbi put it in a clearer way. He says, وَالْهَمُّ يَخْتَرِمُ الْجَسِيمَ نَحَافَةً وَيُشِيبُ نَاصِيَةَ الصَّبِيِّ وَيُهْرِمُ هَمْ. Worries, the preoccupation of the mind, makes the big person lean and thin, and makes the young person's hair grow gray. It is because of what? Because of thinking a lot. Science supports this. The brain consumes 25% of the energy the whole body consumes. So if you are in love, the signs will appear on you. It will be very clear. You cannot hide it. What about being in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? You claim that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and you want people to buy this without any proof, without any sign. Even the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, and you don't change. The name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, and you don't send prayers upon him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The sunnah is presented to you, and you're indifferent, as it is irrelevant to you. It addresses another generation, some other people on another planet. There should be some signs. These signs are very important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam spoke about the signs of the sweetness of iman in a hadith agreed upon. The signs of the sweetness of iman, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, and made one of them to love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else. Three qualities. If you have them, you will taste the sweetness of iman. Number one, to love your brother, but for the sake of Allah. Number two, that Allah and His Messenger are dearer to you, more beloved to you than anything else. Number three, that you dislike to become a non-believer or to return to a state of kufr for people who reverted to Islam, as much as you dislike or fear to be thrown in fire. Three qualities, there are signs. You want the sweetness of iman, then these are ways to get the sweetness of iman. You claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you have to present proofs. And people have to see signs on you. And Imam Malik ibn Anas was very picky, very meticulous about the qualities of his teachers. He had one important principle, after all other principles of knowledge and righteousness. He had one important principle. He examined his teachers. He observed them. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is mentioned, how would they react? If they reacted in awe and adab and humbleness and yearning towards him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he studied with them. There is a narration about one of his teachers, Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, a great scholar of Al-Madinah, a great narrator of Hadith, one of the Tabi'een. Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, Imam Malik accompanied him and didn't take any of his Hadith till he observed him. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned, Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani used to shake and shiver when the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. The Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum had the best example of the awe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and attachment to him. And I really don't know how people live without yearning to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. To be honest, can you live without air? Can you live without air? Wallahi, shawq, yearning to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more important to your soul than the air to your body. And I know some people, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is absent from them, Imam Abu al-Abbas al-Mursi said it, and I quoted this before, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is absent from me 1 second, I wouldn't consider myself a believer. Wallahi, if we are alive, if we have any pleasure in this life, it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If not our meeting with him, if not our vision of him, if not seeing him and his light sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it should be the shawq, the yearning for that. The yearning for that should be enough for you to live, to give you enough hopes for this life to spend on the face of the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it forbidden for anyone to wish to die. Because he said, if you are a sinful person, you might get an opportunity to repent. If you are a righteous person, you get an opportunity to increase your good deeds. And if you have any reason to live on the face of the earth, it should be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wallahi, with every night I go to bed, I have shawq, I have hopes, I have wishes, I have anticipations, expectations that this night I'm going to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. I love to sleep because I can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dreams. Alhamdulillah. I don't want to speak about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I can speak, of course, about my relatives who are close to me. I can see my relatives, and you know how much you can enjoy seeing your relatives if you loved them very much, your father, your teacher, some of your relatives. You know how much joyous this to the heart when you see them. To imagine seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in your dreams. Imagine going to bed with these hopes, with these ashwaq, that you miss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you want to see him. So, you have to meet him in the best form, following his sunnah. You prepare yourself for meeting him. You're going to see him in your dream. You're going to meet him in your dream. So prepare yourself. Finish your dhikr, finish your recitation of Al-Quran al-Kareem. Pray a sunnah after Al-Fard. Make prayers upon him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Go to bed. Prepare yourself. If you don't see him tonight, you're going to see him next night. If you don't see him tomorrow, you're going to see him after tomorrow. Live with this hope. It gives you enough reasons to live on the face of the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is more important to us than cold water when we are thirsty. And was dearer to the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, as Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an explained, than cold water when they were thirsty. I'm talking about thirst that leads to death when people are traveling through the desert in hot weather and they are about to die, and then cold water is offered. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is dearer to them. And people can afford this. People in love can afford hunger, thirst, exhaustion, tiredness, can forget pain for the sake of their beloveds. Animals yearn to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A trunk of a tree. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to stand and rely upon a trunk of a tree, a palm tree. When the pulpit was built for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he moved to stand up on the pulpit. The Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum all together heard the yearning, the noise of a trunk of a tree. And this hadith is mutawatir, narrated by many of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. There is no doubt about this event. We should spread the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In Christianity, they talk about the miracles of Jesus, and all they have is few miracles, a couple of dozens of miracles. We have a couple of thousands of miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Not a couple of dozens, a couple of thousands of miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and in detail much more than this. Within 23 years of his message sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you could imagine how many miracles would happen every day. Every day miracles are happening. And we have in detail so many reports in the books of hadith, books such as Dala'il al-Nubuwa of Imam al-Bayhaqi, Dala'il al-Nubuwa of Imam Abu Nu'aym, and other books. One of the latest works on the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a book written by Imam Shaykh Yusuf al-Nabhani, a great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A Palestinian scholar died in Lebanon year 1350, a Shaykh Yusuf al-Nabhani, authored over 100 books, most of them devoted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Such should the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love do in our hearts and in our life to change it. You want to see the signs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love on your face, in your body, follow his sunnah. Make mention of him, repeat prayers upon him, be in awe of him when he is mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yearn to him, read about him, live his life, live his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then you will be given the opportunities to meet him, to see him, and to drink from his basin and to meet him on the day of judgment in Al-Firdaws Al-A'la, inshallah, which is a wish of every one of us. Allah, dear brothers and sisters, with that I end, because Isha time, I think, is in. I end my talk with the prayers, sincere prayers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us here in this masjid together, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to meet brothers and sisters on the day of judgment in something similar to this. And we would remember our previous gatherings here in Keithley, inshallah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward every one of you for coming here, for this love you have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for your adab in the house of Allah and in listening to this humble servant in front of you with the humble rewards he ever rewarded any lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.